are on fire for Jesus Christ. We need churches that the fire of God is around there, that 5 miles away from here, there's such a heat, and the community will just sense that heat and say, what is going on in that place? We need the fire of God more than ever. We need the fire of God more than yesterday. We need the fire of God more than last week. I need the fire of God. We need revival to revive us. A church cannot have the fire of God if we don't deal with some things in our lives first. He's ready and willing to send the fire, but there's some key elements, characteristics that you and I are going to look at this morning. Let me tell you, a group of people buying land and getting a good budget and ready to buy new buildings, it's okay, we do that. But like I said before, if it's not directed by the Holy Spirit, it's worth zero. It's worth nothing. But I believe lots of people are leaving their churches today because there's something that is lacking, the fire of God upon the church. Because when you encounter the fire of God, when you encounter His Holy Spirit, you're not going to leave anymore, because you're going to be in that presence with God forever and ever. You are here because you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. And that's what makes you want to come back again and again and again and to love Him more and more every day. It's because you've experienced the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. We are lacking in our community is not more churches, but what we're lacking in our community is the fire of God in our churches. Are you with me this morning? Have you ever been to a church that is completely dead? They can be a lot of programs. They can be growing. They can have all the facilities as the one. But once you go in, there is no fire. It is dead. Are you with me this morning? Have you been into a church like that? Aren't we looking for a church where the fire of God is present? Because when the fire of God comes down, revival happens. Revival happens. And when revival happens, people's lives are changed. People's lives are transformed because the fire of God just came down. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts and the lives of people. New Hope Christian Assembly, in 2019, we need to be a church on fire for God. We need to be a church on fire for God. We have seen that, and you have seen this, and I have seen that in our own strength, in our own wisdom, we can do things. And I've seen that during my past years of preaching and of pastoring in other churches. In my own ability, we can do things. And I can do things, and I can put programs in place. I can do all that kind of stuff. But what we want to see is what God, I see is what God can do. We want to be a church on fire for God more than ever. You can have all the programs you want, but if there's no fire, if there's no revival, it's dead. We long for it. Not just another gathering with friends and hanging out on a Sunday morning. We're looking to be part of what God set on fire. In 1857, a great revival had happened. A great revival had happened in 1857. A small church has called a man called by Jeremiah Lanphier to come and do a visitation program in order to help them turn the tide of the spiritual decline that was happening at that time. After a short time, this man, Jeremiah Lanphier, heard and realized that it was not a great success, this visitation program and put in place, but he knew on how to pray. So he started to send out flowers and publicity and putting posters on the poles and going around and door to door and putting flyers to say that we're going to have a prayer meeting. And as a pastor, as an evangelist, oh, the excitement is when you send flyers all around, you think 5,000 people are going to come to the door. But the first prayer meeting that was there, there was nobody. After a while, 12 o'clock came, still nobody. 12:15 came, still nobody. 12:30, they came. 6 men came inside and started to do this prayer service, prayer meeting together. 1 week later, 10 men showed up. 1 month later, more people came to this prayer meeting. It was recorded that 6 months later, 10,000 people came and gathered in New York City to pray for spiritual renewal. 2 years later, 1 million people came converted in America. Yes, a great revival happened from a small prayer gathering. From one group of people said that we will pray of desperation of our own situation. And he said, we are just going to pray. And a great revival was started by prayer. Revival is not going to start if we just sit down. There must be a desperation upon our life. There must be this hunger. There must be in unity praying for the same thing. It might start off discouraging, but if you remain faithful, as a church, if we remain faithful, if we focus on the same thing, if we go there in desperation that I can't do it on my own, I just need God to show up in a mighty way. If we do that, church, I guarantee you the power of God is going to be in this place more than ever. I'm excited for the fire of God to come down, for revival to come down. I'm tired of hearing, I heard this in 1857. I heard this in Africa. I heard this in Jamaica. I heard this all over in Italy. There's revivals, but not here. No, revival must start here. Revival must start in New Hope Christian Assembly when the people of God are desperate for the same thing, to see the fire of God. Are you with me? Don't you want to see the fire of God? Man, many of our children are far away from God. And how can our children come to know God if we're not desperate in praying for them? If we're not desperate to see the move of the Holy Spirit come down in a mighty way? So we see this church. God has never changed. The same God in 1857, the same God that is in the Bible, the same God that we see through characters and through the scriptures, that there was revivals that happened that was started by prayer. The same God is the same God that you and I serve today. He has not changed. He will never change. And he is ready to send the fire once again upon the people of God. But how can he send it if the people of God are not desperate to see the move of God? He's not going to give it to you if you don't want it. If you want it, he'll give it. If you want it, he'll give it to you. All through the scriptures and church history and biblical history, we have seen that there is an easy connection with prayer and revival. All through the scriptures, we see that in the life of Daniel, the life of Nehemiah, the life of Isaiah. What about Elijah? Elijah called the people to come near to this altar of the Lord, which was broken down, which was repaired. The sacrifice was made ready. The wood was saturated with water, an over of water, and water poured three times, and the trench surrounding the altar was filled. And look at what had Elijah prayed. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art in Israel, and that I am a servant, and that I have done these things of thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that art the Lord God, and that hast turned the hearts back again. And he did pray. He did not pray in vain. And what has happened is the fire of the Lord fell. And here's the thing that's more important: when the fire of the Lord comes upon the people of God, when the fire of the Lord is present, when all the people saw this, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is good. The Lord, he is good. When they prayed with a desperation, the Lord sent the fire from on heaven down and burned that altar. The people returned to God of the fathers, and the prophets of Baal were destroyed, and the nation repentance was complete. So we see this in the men in desperation, praying, and revival came upon them. God has used prayer of his people to send revival. But this morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, a couple of verses that we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to draw out something that God has spoken to me through this, and I pray that it will encourage you this morning as we continue. Church, we need to acknowledge that prayer is a difficult thing. But if we're honest with ourselves, it is really difficult. we are not born as a prayer warrior. I didn't come out of my mother's womb and all of a sudden I had this prayer lifestyle. It's exercise. It is a commitment. We must take the time daily to exercise ourselves into prayer and spend the time in prayer with Christ every single day. God cannot send revival as you come on one Sunday morning and just pray for revival. God will send the revival upon the land, upon the people, is when you have this continual lifestyle of prayer. Are you with me? Continual lifestyle of prayer, that's when God will send the revival. Prayer is a difficult thing. In all the revivals that we see in the Bible or in the church, we see that there's something in common. There was a couple of things that they needed to do before they experienced revival. Let's go back to prayer for a moment. Have you ever experienced this? I experienced this. Have you ever experienced you were praying and all of a sudden you're sleeping? What is that? It's pretty hard, huh? If it happened, if you were going to say no, you're lying, because it happened to the disciples. So at times, there were times that I was praying and all of a sudden I opened my eyes and my hands still like this. What is going on? I just fell asleep. Prayer is hard, but we must exercise ourselves. We must take that commitment and do it every single day of our lives. So this group of people that we've seen have come to a place where they recognized desperation situation and where they recognized that nothing is going to happen unless God showed up. So there's something in common. One, they have recognized the desperation. And second, they have recognized that nothing is going to happen if God didn't show up. This was in the situation of 1857. A desperation, a crisis had happened. And they came to realize the only way revival would happen if God showed up. Revival cannot come if God does not show up. The reason, because God shows up, it's not because simply of our prayer, because it's because of what it's said by the act of our prayers. God will send revival when we are what? Humble. When we realize that I can't do it. I surrender all my life to you, Lord. My actions, my words, my life. I can't do it no more, Lord. And when you surrender everything, when you come to Him with a humble spirit, that's when God will send revival. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will what? Will humble themselves. So when you humble yourself before the Lord, then He will send power. Then He will send revival. Then He will send the Holy Spirit upon the land and heal upon the land. The humility is extremely important. We want revival, but we say, Lord, on my term, not on your term. We want revival, but we pray once a week. No, it has to be a continually conversation, relationship with Jesus Christ. It's belong to the whole church. It's not just for one or two people. I'm going to throw you through the scriptures that there's something extremely important. Revival is not going to come if you and I don't think the same. Revival is not going to come if you and brother and sister are not praying for the same thing. Revival is going to come when there's one mind praying in unity for the same thing. And I have seen that in the churches. We're praying for two different things and it doesn't happen. Why? Because they're not in unity with one another. God wants to see the church of God in unity. And the people of God in Acts were in unity. And when they were in unity, they prayed for the same thing. And when they prayed for the same thing, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the lives of the people that were there. And they experienced revival. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. What God's response is the humility of His people. When we realize that we need God more than anything in our lives, when we make Him known the priority of our lives, when we surrender and pray with humility, God will show up. And the Holy Spirit will show up and pour out His blessings. But also the scripture tells us that God opposes the proud. Doesn't the Bible tell us He gives what? Grace to the humble and resist the. At times we pray with pride. At times we don't even want to pray. He opposes the proud. At times we don't even spend time in prayer, because in a way, when you don't spend time in prayer, you're actually saying, I don't need you, God. I don't need you, Lord. When you don't pray, when you don't have this lifestyle of prayer, when you don't spend time with God, you're actually telling Him, I don't need you. But when someone is praying, when someone has this relationship, in other words, he's saying, I need you more than ever, Lord. The desperation. And I have seen people in the hospitals dying because of pride, do not want to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Because of pride, I don't need Him. I can do it on my own. And he lives, and he or she leaves the last breath without Christ because of pride. Because of pride. But God gives grace to the humble. This morning, I would like to look at, in Acts, the church ignited by prayer. I would like to look at three characteristics of prayer in the early church. And I pray that we will learn this morning. Please have an open mind, an open heart to receive His word. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. I don't have a PowerPoint. As I said, I was doing it during the day, and it took me pretty long to prepare this message. It might sound maybe simple for you, but it did take time because I need to hear from God. Let's do it, and we read it together. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Could you get that, please? Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Together, let's read this morning. Verse 14. It's not that one. Wrong. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Here. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. You're not okay. Verse 14 that we look at it. The reason why I made you read this is because there were some words I couldn't pronounce it myself. So here, verse 14. When we look at verse 14, there's some key elements right there. The first thing that we see this, as we continue this and we read the next verses, we'll see that 120 people were gathered together seeking, and the Spirit of God comes on the church and manifested by the presence of God was in that place. So the first thing that we see in this verse over here, you might not see, but it's there. And I'll explain it to you. The number one is the characteristic of a passionate prayer. Why do I say that? You got to see something on this point. The verse does not tell you that do not pray, or it's a command to pray here. He's not telling us, let's pray. No, it tells us they all joined together constantly in prayer. That means they had this relationship with Jesus Christ already. Are you with me? It tells us in Acts chapter 1, he did not say, let's pray. It's a command of prayer. He said, wait. And when you wait, you receive what? The Holy Spirit. Follow me what I'm trying to say here. When they came to verse 14, it wasn't a command that you have to pray. They already had this relationship with Jesus Christ. They just came constantly in praying. They had this passionate prayer already. Why? Because they loved Jesus. It wasn't a one-time deal here. It was their lifestyle. They constantly in prayer. A passionate prayer. A prayer that just had this passion for Christ. And they just spend time with Him. At times we do the same. We come to church and we just pray, but we forget the next 6 days. No, it starts by Sunday. This prayer should have a constant prayer. So when Sunday comes again, that's when the Holy... I don't even have to say, let's pray or let's raise our hands. No, automatically we know because we're having this relationship with Christ on a weekly and everyday thing. It's a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you're passionate for someone, when you pass, you'll do anything. You pray. You do anything. You're in love with that person. Have you ever experienced that when you're in love with your spouse? You didn't care. You were passionate about it. You brought flowers. You brought roses. You brought chocolates. You went all over. You even walked 10 kilometers. Now you don't walk anymore 10 kilometers for your husband or your spouse. But the day happened that you were so passionate for that person and you just went and you did everything to get there with that person. It's the same thing with Christ, a passionate prayer. We see they're joined together constantly in prayer, spending time with him. Why? Because they loved Jesus. If you love Jesus, let me see your hands. I know we all do. It must have this constantly passionate in prayer every single day of your life. You can't have it one day a week. It won't work. You can't tell your wife you love her today and you hate her next week. You can't. It's not going to work. You know what she's going to tell you? She's going to open the door and tell you, get out. That's what she's going to tell you. Or go sleep on the sofa. Or the shed. As some men already experienced that. Sleeping in the shed. A passionate prayer. Continue to devote themselves to prayer. The Bible does not command us to pray. But Jesus gives that the last instructions to the disciples is to wait. And they waited for the power of the Holy Spirit. And they waited for the Spirit of God. And as these were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, by the mother of Jesus and by his brother, continued devoted themselves to prayer. Why is that? They prayed and were devoted because what? They loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong when you and I face situations in life and we pray for. Nothing is wrong for that. We could, and we do that. We pray there's a desperation. Something is happening upon your life. Situation, sickness, it comes. All of a sudden, we see them more prayer. Is nothing wrong. It's okay to do that. But it tells us here, it doesn't just pray when you have a crisis. It tells us it's a constant, what? In prayer. Through the good times and through the bad times, they pray and pray and believe. And it has a communication, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. Get this. The early church prayer was not meant to be religious. The Pharisees had religious prayers, but the early church prayer was meant to be a relational, a relationship with Christ. Spend time with him, hear from him, talk to him, express everything to him, share everything to him, humbly come before him. And when we do that, that's when we see the power of the Holy Spirit move upon our lives. So the first thing that we need to look at is to continue united in prayer. Spend that time in prayer daily. Not just one time a week, but daily. The early church prayed with a passionate heart. Are you with me? Do you want to pray with a passionate heart? Do you want to see the fire of God upon your life? Do you want to see the fire of God upon the church? We must pray with a passionate heart. Not just a fly-by prayer. A passionate heart, caring heart, a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's when Jesus will pour out his blessing upon his people. I try to figure out what was going on upon our churches, what was going on upon the church. Lord, why was it not growing as fast as it's supposed to grow? It's because we're lacking one thing, a personal, passionate prayer with Jesus. We want a fast thing. But every one of us, I encourage every single one of us to have this passionate prayer. And if you do so and you do that, continue. Continue this relationship with Christ. Don't you ever give up. But for the ones who don't spend that passionate prayer with Jesus, I encourage you to do so. Today is the day. Start in 2019 with the new resolution. Say, I'm going to spend more time with Jesus. I'm going to pray more with the Lord. I want to hear from him. And when we do that, God will show up. Even Jesus had this relational prayer with his Father. And the Pharisee had a religious, but Jesus had a relationship with his Father. And the disciples told Jesus, teach me how to pray. And how did Jesus? Jesus says, hear how it goes, our Father, thou art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy be done on earth and as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Our Father, thou art in heaven. He says, yeah, you want me to teach you how to pray? Right here. Our Father, thou art in heaven. We must recognize, we must go to our Heavenly Father. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more passion comes out of our life. If you don't have passion to serve, if you don't have passion to go out and bring a soul to Jesus Christ, if you don't have passion to go out in the community, it's because you don't spend time with God. Because the more time you spend time with Christ, the more he will fill you with the love, and the more you can do what he's called you to do. A passionate prayer. A wonderful scripture to help us this morning is a passionate relationship, a surrendering heart and a humble heart. And this prayer came from a desperation of only God can send his glory. In Isaiah 64, it tells, "Yet, Lord, you are Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. You are our potter. We are on the work of your hands. Lord, do not be terribly angry or remember our iniquity forever. Please look, all of us, your people, your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become wilderness. Jerusalem is desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple where our fathers praised you has been burnt with fire. And all that was dear to us lies in ruins. Lord, after all this, will you restrain yourself? Will you keep silent and afflict severely?" He says, Lord, it tells us, Lord, do not be angry with us. We have failed. And that's the humble, the humility of person. And when we recognize that that God is not going to show up if we're just going to sit down. God will show up when we humbly come before him. He says, we messed up, Lord. I just need the power of the Holy Spirit. I just need the fire of God upon my life once again. And when we humbly come before him and recognize that, that's when God will pour out his blessing upon his church. So in Acts 1, it's not only that we see a passionate prayer in that verse 14. It says these were continually united, constantly in prayer. And another version would tell us, continually united in prayer along with the women. So united is a key, important thing. And another version would tell us with one mind. Another version would say in one accord. They were devoted with one another. They were in unity in prayer. The keys all this through a unity in prayer. They prayed for the same thing. There was unity among the church. And this is the type of prayer that they were praying for. They had a deep sense of vision, a purpose, and relationship with one another. How can God bless his church if we live in division? In the same way, if I disobey, it's the same way if you disobey in the prayer, in the life of a prayer, it can affect the whole church. Because we lack unity. If we lack unity and we have tension or bitterness, that can cause a division, but it can also cause losing a blessing of God upon our lives. We are a healthy church, and I am proud of that. We're getting there better every single day. We're not perfect, but we're getting there. We're working together to get better. But if there is two people here this morning, if they have bitterness against each other, if they have anger towards each other, if they have a situation that they didn't deal with 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I guarantee you, even that God will not, it would stop God to pour his blessing upon the church. It's extremely important they were constant in unity in prayer. They were doing the same thing. They were praying the same thing. They had the same vision. They had the same purpose. And they prayed for the same thing. If there's no unity among the people of God, God is going to stop himself to pour out his blessing upon his church. Are you with me this morning? I encourage every one of us, if we do have something against a brother, if you do have something against a sister, if some of you have something against me as a leader, come and tell me right away, because we're losing out the power of the Holy Spirit upon the church of God. I know Brother Ray wanted to come up, but don't worry, I'll fix you up later on. Are you with me this morning? There must be this unity. You must have the same unity, the same mind, the same prayer, the same things that must come out of our mouth and our hearts, because I'm excited to see the fire of God. I'm excited to see God move in a mighty way in 2019 like never before. Don't you want to be part of that? Don't you want to be part of the move of the Holy Spirit? Don't you want to be the one that someone will read and see, New Hope Christian Assembly in 2019 received a revival? Don't you want to be that person there? The only way we'll see that, if we have unity, humble, desperation. Same mind. I have heard people in churches, and I have heard, and I am not afraid to say it, because I speak from my heart and I speak from the Word of God. I have heard people pray against my prayers. I heard people pray against what my vision, what God has placed upon me. That is not unity. That is not unity. It's not the same prayer. And God will not pour out His Spirit upon the church of God. He will not do it because there's disunity among each other. I've heard a brother one time in church, he's praying out loud, my dear children, oh, God is here. My dear children, oh, there's a couple beside me that are having big situations. They're fighting with one another. What is that person doing? The person went to the person's house last night and is revealing to the whole church that this couple has a problem. God does not work that way. You prayed against each other. You prayed for the move of the Holy Spirit. You prayed against the move of the Holy Spirit. You brought division among the people of God. They unified. They prayed with one mind. They prayed for each other. Oh, Lord, just if the pastor would listen to me, just he would take my advice, it's going to go better to church. Yeah. Lord, I pray against what the pastor's saying because he has no understanding how to serve you, Lord. Is that unity? Brothers and sisters, I have heard that. And I'll say it, I have heard it even in this church. And that brings division. How can God pour out revival when we have prayers like that? But they prayed for one another, and they prayed in unity for one thing. And the person, if this person prayed for revival, and you prayed for revival, and you prayed for revival, and you prayed for revival. Watch this. If every one of us prayed for revival today, God will send the revival. Why? Because there's unity in prayer. So this year, as 2019 goes on, we're going to have a passionate prayer, a passionate relationship with Christ. We're going to pray in unity the same thing. We're going to pray for the same thing. We're going to pray for the move of the Holy Spirit to move upon our life. I've said it through my prayer. You might forget my message as soon as I walk out of here. But I guarantee you, if I'll ask you, you never forget the day that the Holy Spirit came upon your life. Do you remember that day? When the Holy Spirit just came upon your life. When revival, when the God's presence came upon your life. You can't forget that day because the power of the Holy Spirit touched you. Words of a man can forget, but when you're met with the Holy Spirit, when the fire of God comes upon the people of God, you will never forget that day because you encountered a higher power, and that His name is Jesus. I forget my own message as soon as I go home. What did I just say? But I will never forget when the Holy Spirit moves. I can name you all the time that we had here and we've seen the power of the Holy Spirit move among the people. Do you remember those days in 2018 when the power of the Holy Spirit moved upon the people? You can't forget those days. Do you remember my message last week? Some of us forgot. But when you encounter the Holy Spirit, you can't forget that. What I'm trying to say is we need that more than anything else is the move of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God upon our lives. Thank God you forget my messages because all the time I make mistakes. But I encourage you, spend time with God. Pray for that. Pray the same thing in unity. The early church, they prayed their prayer as they had the same thing in mind. They prayed in unity and they prayed exactly the same thing. Church, God is calling us. If you want to see revival, if you want to see the fire of God upon you, if you want to see the fire of God upon this church, we need to pray for the same thing and say, together we say, Lord, you send the fire upon us. Remember that song, Lord? Do we know that song? I'm not going to go with it because I don't know if you know it. Lord, send just the power right now. Come on. Okay, forget it. You guys don't know it. No. What about this one? Revive us, O Lord. Do you know it? I think I'm a little younger than you guys. and you don't know that song. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine thy glory. Revive us again. Yes, Lord. Revive us again, Lord. Revive us again, Lord. We need you more and more every day. So the third characteristics, we're going to look at this. Yes, they had passion in prayer. They had unity. And lastly, perseverance in their prayer. They didn't give up because they didn't see it. They prayed until something happened. They prayed until God showed up. Why do I say that? Because as we read the scriptures, they were in the upper room and God showed up. Perseverance is a key thing. We need to continue praying. You might be saying, but God knows my prayer. God knows my prayer, so why do I have to pray again and again and again and again? But we need to say that if you're desperate and there's a desperation in your life and you pray for the same thing, I guarantee if one of us have lost some young child of her life, you're going to be so desperate in praying for God to move upon your life to give you that strength. The same desperation that you're going to pray for someone who's going through a hard time or going through someone that lost in a young age. The same desperation we must come to God and say, I need you. I need a revival. I need the fire of God upon the people of God. I need this revival more than more ever before. What the community needs is more churches on the fire of God. We hear as pastors most of the time, not all the time, but sometimes we compete each other that church is bigger than that one, or that church has better programs than that one, and even the people, and sometimes I fail in that area. Oh yeah, Lord, why is that church so big? And why are we still suffering like this? And he slaps me in the head. You're looking at sizes. You're looking at multiple sanctuaries. That's what I like. That's what I dream for. But what he's trying to tell me, be the church on fire for God. That's what you called you to be. Be the church on fire for God and let him do the rest. But every one of us could be on fire for God. But to be on fire for God, we need the fire of God upon our lives. Perseverance in prayer. New Hope Christian Assembly, we're not going to be people that are going to quit. God wants us to continue to pray. He wants to see our heart, our humility. A prayer that goes like not letting go, but continue to pray. We don't give up until God shows up. We will never give up until God sends revival, until God sends the fire upon this place, until God fills these pews with the people of God, with the people of God accepting Jesus Christ. God, we'll never stop until these pews are filled with people of God serving the Lord Almighty. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Church, are you with me? Are you the same prayer? Is that the same prayer of you? I pray here every time I go and I go, Lord, fill this. Lord, fill this. Lord, fill this. Lord, fill, 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 fill. It's not for my glory. It's because someone to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone who will experience life after death. That's what it is for, people. Is that your prayer? Do you want your children? Do you want your family members to know Christ? We don't have to say, come on, church, let's pray. Automatically you should come out and pray. Why? It's because you have this passionate prayer life with Jesus. When you have this passionate prayer life with Jesus, no one has to tell you. Automatically it comes out. It comes from the heart. It flows from the heart. And you pray for one another. And you pray for revival. Pray in unity. And we know the story, the persevering, the parable of the persistent widow. Verse 18 says, and then told them a parable of the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respected man. And a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, He was unwilling. But later he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, this is the judge, or respect man, yet because this woman keeps persisting me, I will give her justice so it doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming. She was persistent in what she was looking for. If you're looking for revival, you got to be persistent. You got to be there, persevering and believing. But we must come there with a humble spirit and say, I can't do it on my own. You come there in desperation. You come there with in unity and praying for the same thing. And through the scriptures, and we see through church history, and we see through this, in the Bible history, we see it's a common thing. When there's a desperation, when you humility, and when you pray for revival at the same thing, for the same thing, God will pour His Spirit among His people. Aren't you ready for 2019 to see the move of God? I want to see the move of God more than ever. Church, we are going to be people that will be on fire. We're going to have this passion of prayer life, unified prayer, and we're going to pray the same prayer. Perseverance, we are not going to give up until God shows up. I know at times we say, I need to see my time. I need to go home. I need to take those the pills. Or I need to, it's okay. You can go home in early. But what I'm looking for is a persistent prayer life. But what I'm looking for is when we come together, unified prayer, the same thing. That's what we're looking for. When it's time for prayer, let's pray. When it's time to sing, let's sing. When it's time to dance, let's dance. When it's time to mourn, let's mourn. There's a time for everything, but when there's a time for prayer and a time to seek the move of the Holy Spirit, do so. Give it all you can. Give it your best. I don't have to say, come on, let's pray. It must come automatically within our lives. Passionate relationship with Christ. Passionate prayer life with Christ. And God will show up. And when God shows up, great things happen. Lives are transformed. Healings happen in the churches. Why? Because God showed up. Not because man showed up. Because God showed up. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God has never changed in 1857. Today, in 2019, He is the same God. Has God sent revival upon Elijah and the people over there? As God sent revival in 1857, God will send revival in 2019 to New Hope Christian Assembly. Are you with me this morning? If you're with me this morning and you want to see the revival of God, let's stand on our feet and start worshiping the Lord this morning and start praying for revival. Stop praying. So get up on your feet this morning. Come on, get up on your feet this morning. As the band will come forth, we're going to sing one more song. And every one of us here, I pray that you were encouraged by God's word. I pray that you were encouraged by His word and you were challenged by His word in 2019. Have this prayer, passionate life with Him. This relationship with Him in 2019. Church, I encourage you to do so. Your life will be a lot easier when you do so. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and reflect on these words. As we're going to sing a song together this morning. What is your prayer this morning? What is your prayer for 2019? Do you want to see the fire of God upon your life? Do you want to see the fire of God upon the church? So as we sing this song this morning, let's have the same prayer. Lord, send your fire. Send your fire, Lord. As we prepare ourselves even for the Alpha courses, ask God, pray for the same thing. Ask God to move in a mighty way. Even if there's one, even if there's two or three or four that come and visit us this past weeks, pray that God will just touch their lives in a mighty, precious way. Church, are we praying and unified? Are we praying for the same thing? So if we are this morning, let's sing this song together. And then we're going to conclude with a prayer this morning.
Praise Thee, O God. for the son of thy love.